Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
There's a lot to talk about with the ceasefire. Very, very conflicted emotions I see coming from all of you, and indeed from all of the people that we have been speaking to. Joining us now is Dr. Eli Carmon, Israeli a political scientist, a senior research scholar at the International Institute for Counterterrorism. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and thank you for having me. We are happy this morning because finally there is an agreement, a deal to liberate our hostages in Gaza. Not completely happy because unfortunately some of them, especially the soldiers and the men which are healthy, hopefully, will not be liberated in this stage.
What does this mean in terms of the future of the war? It is very clearly being called a ceasefire, not a not a peace agreement. But so what does this mean practically?
Actually, in principle, this should be the end of the war in Gaza, because according to the sponsor of this agreement, which are the two presidents of the United States, Biden and Trump, but also the mediators, Qatar and Egypt, the final agreement would imply that Israel will retreat completely from Gaza and all the hostages will be liberated, which means that at that moment there will be an end of the war and the beginning of the reconstruction project. But we still have a long way ahead because Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his allies, more radical allies in the government, are not interested in it. So we don't know how it will finish in the end. And also because there is no clear plan how Hamas will be replaced as a power which controls Gaza. For the moment, still, Hamas has an important presence in Gaza and controls mainly the humanitarian help and support by the international community.
So does this bolster Hamas? Does this move Hamas themselves in a positive direction?
Hamas is not moving in a positive direction. He is defeated militarily. Gaza is destroyed, and the people of Gaza have suffered enormously, like also the people clearly of Israel. But Hamas hopes that under certain conditions, especially if they arrive at an agreement with the Palestinian Authority, that they will control together with the Palestinian Authority the Gaza Strip and somehow will prevail in the future. This is the dream of the Hamas leadership, which, by the way, continues to live freely in Qatar. And this is a very, in my opinion, very painful development, because Qatar and not Egypt have been presented as the real winners of this deal. And we know that President Assisi of Egypt is very angry about it, because still Egypt is the most important power in the region. It is the gate of the Gaza Strip and has been for decades the go-between between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, the go-between between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. And now its role is diminished. So we'll see how the future of the Gaza Strip will develop. We know that there is a conflict between, first of all, I would say the Qatari-Turkish view how to retake some kind of influence in Gaza, and the axis, I would say, of moderate states. First of all, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, the Bahrainis, and clearly also Jordan and the other Sunni moderate states. For the moment, it is not clear. Again, it depends a lot how the Israeli government will decide about the future of the involvement of Israel. We saw that for the last months, radical elements in Israel try to even to achieve a kind of complete military control of Gaza and build again some of the settlements which were liberated, or if you, they were left in 2005 by Prime Minister Sharon.
What's interesting is when you spoke about the players in the Middle East, you spoke about the more moderates, and then you spoke about Turkey and Qatar. You didn't mention Iran. Given what's happened and the weakening, the destruction of Hezbollah, the weakening of Iran, what can we expect from Iran and them being the source of funding of terror moving forward here?
All the actors in the region, the Iranians are waiting for President Trump to enter the arena and see how the new president of the United States will behave vis-a-vis Iran. Now, there are two main alternatives for President Trump. One, he will try to press Iran, because he said, we don't want war, okay? Not only in Gaza and Lebanon, but also with Iran. So he will press for a new nuclear agreement, much harsher for the Iranians, like the Obama JCPOA agreement for 2015. The other way is, if the Iranians, especially radicals in Iran, continue to try to achieve military nuclear capability, then President Trump could decide either to support Israel in attacking the nuclear infrastructure of Iran, or even intervening together with Israel. We saw, for instance, 2 days ago that the American and the Israeli Air Force attacked together the Houthi strongholds, military strongholds in Yemen. So the situation is very tense, and everybody is trying to play a game, a new game, but clearly Iran is very much weakened, not only because of the fall of Hamas and Hezbollah, but especially of Syria. Syria was the main Arab ally of Iran for so many years, since 1980, and also a bridge, an important bridge in its axis through Iraq, Syria to Lebanon, and even to the Palestinian Authority. So we have a new actor which has won the war in Syria, is Turkey. And on this, I think we should have a special discussion, because from the Israeli point of view, the Erdogan regime is an Islamist regime. It is already threatening Israel and is trying to build a new alliance with the new regime, the new government in Damascus, and build five military bases in Syria, which is practically the same kind of platform like the Iranians used until recently.
Very, very interesting and fascinating perspective. That is where we leave it. Dr. Ella Carmon, Israeli political scientist, researcher, a scholar at the International Institute for Counterterrorism, giving us a broader perspective, one that I find absolutely fascinating.